message, you ought to hear what I'm saying. Success is a plan that takes years in the making. When nobody did, I believed. Had to let go of things I did not need. Cut off some friends in the process, what could I say? I could no longer carry the dead weight. Get off your ass, there's lots you can do. You wanna learn something, then watch how I move. But they don't wanna do shit. They wanna be spoon-fed like a little baby. That shit is crazy, boy. Change up your mindset. I get 3 days worth of work done in just one. 7-2-7 mindset is the hustle for us. You get it?
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Justin Rodriguez, your favorite Latino Kid neighborhood alums, and we're back with another episode of Cafecito Talks. And the one thing I want to point out today, this guy is like a renaissance man. I heard he does everything under the moon, and it's super exciting to be here with Alex Corona, one of the top real estate agents in his area, actually. He's striving to be number one real estate team in his area, lender, real estate agent, and also, if you want to name everything that you've done, you guys do accounting services as well? Investors, what man? He does it all. So, guys, I am proud to introduce you. Thank you so much for being here, Alex. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, bro. Thanks for having me.
If you don't mind sharing your background, man, give us a little insight on how you got to where you're at today.
So, how I got to where I'm at today. So, it all kind of fell into place. You know, my story actually starts even 2 years before I was born, bro. So, my dad actually committed murder, so 2 years before I was born.
Wow.
And he's been on the run now like 46 years. So he's really good at hide and seek. And, by the time I was born, you know, it's been a whirlwind, I'll tell you that. So, you know, all I can remember is just, you know, moving from here to there. And I didn't really know why. You know, I didn't know why we were going here, going there. We were just following my dad. And I grew up kind of rough, you know, kind of grew up on the streets, you know, doing drugs, selling drugs, you know, gangbanging. And by the time I was like 15, I'm wanted, you know, and I decided to flee the country to Mexico as well. And so now I'm on the run, following my dad's footsteps. And, I spent about a little bit over a year over there, you know, working in the tomato field. And that's like where I really learned that I could really work. You know, I was working out there with hundreds of Mexicans in the middle of the campos and stuff like that. And I outworked them all, bro. You know, that's how, you know, I started realizing, man, you know, it wasn't like hard for me. It was just, you know, who I was and what I did. And, it was kind of easy to me. I didn't make any excuses and just went to work and killed it. We used to work from like 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, but there was still, you know, getting off at night. And I still had the kind of messed up mindset, and you know, it was like the Wild West out there. So like a little less laws and a little less people to, you know, keep you in check. And I'm out there by myself. So next thing you know, I'm getting in trouble over there. And now I'm wanted in two countries. And I decide, you know what, I'll just come back to America, do my time, and, you know, get back on the streets and start doing what I got to do. You know, that everybody's trying to come here. I'm stupid enough to, you know, mess up and go there. So I decided, you know what, let me come on back. And, you know, that's kind of when I started realizing how lucky I was, and I stopped playing this victim mindset bullshit where I started realizing, you know what, I'm actually pretty lucky to be here. And I don't have my dad around, and my mom isn't really around, but you know, I'm here and I shouldn't even be here. So, you know, why don't I start taking advantage of it? And, you know, I got locked up, you know, came back, got locked up, and,
How long were you locked up for?
Altogether, it was almost 2 years. So it was a couple times, you know, I was a juvenile. Thank God, you know, I got it out of my system before I was an adult. And I was 16, and they were supposed to lock me up till I was 21. But once I was locked up, I kind of, hit the books. One of the things you were required to do was go to school. Everybody there didn't even know how to add 2 plus 2. You know, thank God I actually knew a little something.
Right.
And, I just started applying myself and actually listening. And, I always tell my guys, you know, hard work goes unnoticed only for so long. You know, somebody will notice what you're doing eventually. And that's, you know, what happened there. You know, it happened when I worked in the tomatoes. You know, I went from the bottom, you know, always like fumigating, you know, poisoning myself every day, to a truck driver and ultimately sales at Central de Abastos right there in DF. So, you know, I started learning how to do it. And same thing when, I got back from Mexico. I'm in school, and I figured, hey, do the work. And the teacher started noticing, you know, and the director of the school, he started noticing. So they said, man, you know, let's try to figure a way to get you out of here. And, we're going to ask the judge if they'll let you take your GED while you're locked up, and maybe we could use that as leverage to get you out of here. And thank God, you know, they thought of that, and, you know, thank God that I was able to get my GED while I was locked up, and the judge let me out, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, God bless her for that. You know, she didn't want to do it. She even said it, you know, it was against her better judgment, but here I am, you know, and I took that and ran with it. And ever since then, you know, I just kept setting the standard and never going under it, and just keep setting that standard higher and higher. And, you know, whatever job I had, it didn't matter. I filled in every gap. You know, just like how you were saying earlier, you know, I'm a man of many hats, and, you know, whatever needs to be done, I'm down. Last night, I was out till about 11 o'clock at night helping my guys, you know, finish up an attic. You know, I could have went home. I coach baseball as well. So after work, I was supposed to go to a game. It got canceled. So I'm like, hey, went home, changed, boom, went with my guys to go finish up a rehab. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I could have stayed at home and, you know, relaxed, but, you know, that's not me. I got every second is accounted for. You know, I don't you know, chilling is cool too, but, you know, there's time for that as well. So, you know, I got my kids, you know, which is number one in my life. You know, everything is second, but, you know, I got three boys, and I coach two baseball teams. So it's like baseball every day, you know, work every day. And, you know, if I got to go back to work after baseball, no problem. You know, I have no excuses, bro. That's one of my core values. You know, it's, we make no excuses. So, you know, but, you know, back to, you know, get my GED. So that, you know, that's what helped, you know, many years later. If I didn't get that GED, I wouldn't have been able to get my real estate license. I wouldn't have been able to get my mortgage license. So the fact that I did get to that when I was locked up, I was able to make some moves when I was a little bit older.
Right, right. So what do you think those life experiences, obviously being locked up and everything, how did it build your core mindset that you're at right now? Because it sounds to me like you had already that core mindset, like you were a hard worker. But
so, you know, it kept me humble, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because I know where I came from. I know where I'm at, and I know where I'm going. You know, and right. I treat everybody the same. I don't care if you're homeless. I don't care if you're a billionaire. Everybody gets treated the same. You know, that's, you know, we've seen some of my best friends. You would see, you know, they're not, you know, they're not able to give me anything. You know, and it's all about me giving to them and what I could do for people. And, you know, I've been in some tough spots, and, you know, people have looked out for me. So I want to make sure that I'm giving back as well.
Right, right. And I love that. I mean, the journey that you've gone through thus far, you know, especially one thing I want to point out is a lot of people that have your journey, have your story in regards to your parents, right? Like the core foundation of everything is your parents, right? And when they weren't present in the early stages, that could have made you go right. And for a portion of your life, it did, but you recorrected yourself and you realized the vision of what you want. And the beautiful part about it is it's usually that gives you the vision that you want for your kids to have that foundation that you weren't able to provide for yourself. And now they're able to look at you and it's like, man, this guy's able to do everything and be present for my life. And that's life-changing. That's game-changing to be able to do and present that to your kids. So kudos to you for being able to present that. But at what point in time after you were locked up, everything kind of came together, did you kind of segue into the real estate? Did you automatically jump into real estate?
No, I didn't. I actually, so, you know, the judge gave me a week to get enrolled in some type of college or some type of trade school. I literally didn't know anything. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't even know how to use a computer even till this day. You know, besides like get on the internet and, you know, go shopping on Amazon. I'm not really, you know, too keen on the internet. If it wasn't for my team, I couldn't even sell one house and do anything. You know, so, but that's, you know. So I left there, you know, I told my mom was actually there to pick me up and take me out of there. And I was like, hey, there's a school over on Cicero, it's for computers, you know, so we take a ride over there. And it ended up being for cars, you know, so it was Lincoln Tech. And I, you know, sat with a recruiter and she's like, yeah, you need $100 to reserve your seat. I had like $140 on me, here's $100, bam, there we go. You know, the last thing I want to do is show up next Friday and tell the judge, hey, I didn't do anything, and bam, right back in. You know, so, you know, she let me shave like 4 years off of my time, and I, you know, and that's all I kept in my head. You know, she put me on intensive parole. I had 5 parole officers, and, you know, I had a curfew. I was on house arrest. I mean, it was a mess, but, you know, I did what I was supposed to do, so that way, you know, I could get out of it and keep going. So I got a job in the car business, and, you know, I could do anything to a car. You know, I did custom cars. I went to Lowrider Show, you know, in the marketplace. Oh, wow. Yeah, so I love using my hands. You know, that's one thing I could do. I could do anything to a home, from the roof to the foundation. I can do anything to a car. And the most important thing is the will is more important than the skill. You know, so I'm down to do whatever, bro. If, you know, am I allowed to swear? I don't know. But,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But I literally clean dog shit with my bare hands. Bro. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't care, you know. Right. And my kids do it, you know. So it's like you know, my oldest, he's 18, and he's literally taking it upon himself. Bro, clean dog shit my bare hands. The other day, I was out there with my 8-year-old, and I see him start picking shit up with his hands. I'm like, bro, my man, you want to talk about making dad proud, bro? That's how you make dad proud, bro.
So how did that even fucking start? You just start picking up shit? Like,
bro, just I tell my team, so I, right? So I tell my team that, you know, we got to do what it takes. What does that mean? I mean, whatever it takes, bro. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to give world class and give people the most incredible real estate experience they've ever seen. You know, and if it takes for you to clean dog shit with your bare hands, then that's what you got to do, right? So I mention it to my team all the time. And we were at my house one day. One of my realtors said to me, he's like, man, it wouldn't be a meeting if you didn't mention how you clean dog shit with your bare hands. So I was at home one day, and we were having a meeting through Zoom, and I'm like, you know what, bro, I'm about to show these motherfuckers what they're doing. So I, you know, I went outside, I had the laptop, my 8-year-old was out there, the one that I'm talking about, you know, he was like maybe 6 or 5 at the time, and I'm like, hey, you guys know why I'm outside? And they're like, oh, it's because it's hot out? I'm like, no, because I'm about to show you guys. You know, I was like, Darian mentioned the other day about how, you know, it wouldn't be a meeting without me talking about cleaning dog shit with my bare hands. I'm about to show you guys. You know, I was in my suit and everybody, I'm picking up dogs. Like, you see this? I don't give a fuck, bro. This is, I'm gonna show you guys, bro. You know, I'm never gonna tell you guys to do something that I'm not down to do. And like I was saying earlier, bro, you gotta fill in every gap. You know, I don't care if I clean toilets, I'll pick up a broom, a mop, I'll sweep. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, there's nothing that I won't do. And you gotta lead by example. You know, that's the thing is, you know, it's easy for me to tell people what to do, but you know, I'd rather show them.
Right. I love that. You know, and one thing that I heard that like pointed out to me the most is that $100 that you spent is probably the best $100 you ever spent.
Oh, bro, ain't no doubt.
It changed your life, man. And that's like, a lot of times you can't buy time.
No,
right?
You
that $100 bought you time, right?
Absolutely.
Like it gave you 4 years back of your life that ended up being one of the best decisions of your life because now you're in the position that you're in. And I'm a firm believer in what you say, man. Leadership all starts with doing things that other people have. You have to show them that you're able to do that yourself, right? And that was the one thing that I had to learn about leadership is up front, it's really hard to delegate because you feel as if you're like, okay, I got to do it. No one can do it like I can. Then you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, in order for me to grow, I have to delegate, I have to learn. And exactly the message that you send is the same message I give to your team. Everything that I'm telling you to do is something that I've already done, nor do I have a problem doing it myself. I have the ability to do it, but now it's your turn. Now as you expand your team, it's like, okay, you're going to get to the point where you don't have to do this no more. We're going to add a member to the team. That other person is going to do exactly what you do. So it's about expanding and growing and teaching and showing how people to grow. And one of the main things that I tell people all the time is like, when you're getting into the business, right, there's a lot, it's a scarce mindset to have to want to see everybody else grow. I think a lot of times we see in our industry or just outside the real world, outside of our industry, forget the industry, a lot of times people want to see you succeed up to a certain point. And once you start becoming more successful than them, then they put a halt on it. They don't want you to succeed better than them. And I think that's something, a stereotype that I wanted to eliminate, right? Like I don't, whether it be in our industry or actually in the Latino community and everybody, I want to be able to have that light and be and show people that the stuff that we're doing on a daily basis isn't something that nobody else can do in the world. I'm not special,
right?
Like anybody can do the things that we can do. It's just about the grit, the grind. Are you able to put forth the work and the ethic and to be able to achieve the goals that you want to achieve, right? So at what point in time in your life did you feel that portion of your life where you're like, okay, I know what I want. I know what vision I'm gonna to achieve. At what point in your life you're like, okay, I know I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to take whatever it takes in order for me to do it.
So, you know, I'm real spiritual, bro. And I know God has always been there with me. You know, no matter what, you know, my family hasn't been there. But God has always been there looking out for me and you know, getting me going in the right direction. It's just, you know, the signs are everywhere. It's just you've got to see them, you know. And I tell my team all the time, you know, the people at the top, they collaborate. The people at the bottom, they're in competition. You know, so you gotta make sure you're out there helping people, bro. And if you do things from the heart, God will take care of the rest. You know, and that's the answer to everything is love. You know, that's the answer. I don't care if somebody's hating on me, bro, I show them love. I don't care if somebody's talking shit, I show them love. You know, and it shuts them down quick because they're like, damn, the hell? Like, I'm trying to get dude pissed off. I'm trying to get him excited. And he's over here inviting me over to his events and inviting me, you know, to this and that and trying to show me, you know, whatever you're feeling or whatever you think or whatever's going on, bro, here, I'm here to help you. You know what I'm saying? I want to get you going in the right track. Just like, you know, I've been running full speed sometimes in the wrong direction. And I tell, you know, I'm very coachable. You know, I got a lot of mentors in my life. I got coaches in my life. And like I tell them, bro, if you see me going the wrong direction, slap the shit out of me, turn me around and get me jogging in the right direction.
Right,
you know, don't hold back. Don't think that you can't tell me something. you know, I need you to be 100 because I'm going to be 100. Right. And I get told constantly, you know, by clients, by people in my life, you know, I've never been talked to like that. I've never. And then, you know, most of them, after they get over it, they come back and they honor it. And they're like, you know what, bro, I'm so happy that you said that. You know, I'm babied by my mom. I'm babied by, you know, I never had nobody say that to me. I really needed to hear that, you know, and I'm glad that I had that conversation with you. You know, you got me pissed off, but I, you know, now I'm cool and thank you, bro. You know, you know, I appreciate that you did keep it 100 and you didn't just, you know, like the rest of these people, just let me, you know, fall. You know, I'm going to be there right there to catch you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to catch you. I'm going to bring you back up. And if you hit the ground, we're going to do it again. You know, and every time it's going to get that much easier.
Right. And how important do you think it was for you to have those mentors, regardless of whether? I think one of the things that people can relate to is that you family is could be a great mentor to help you out, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. How important were mentors for you in your journey, and who were your mentors?
So it took a while. You know, I didn't really have nobody. You know, my mentor is pretty much my girl. You know, my girlfriend, she's the one that, you know, we've been together like 23 years, you know, and she's stuck with me through, oh my goodness. So, you know, she definitely got a, you know, good head on her shoulders. And, you know, that was my mentor for a very long time. We literally wandered around the desert for, you know, I wouldn't say 40 years, but it was a good, like, 15 years where, you know, we're just looking for answers and didn't really have nobody to turn to. You know, we had our own brokerage and we didn't know, you know, who we could call, and it was just us figuring it out. Right. And, but once I started getting, you know, mentors and, you know, one of the guys that mentored me for a while was, Keith Pike. He's a, the number one broker for all the Remax. You know, he's out of Arkansas. Okay. And, you know, he mentored me for a while and, you know, that it went well. You know, and the whole goal of getting mentor and getting coaches is to compress time and try to get to where you're trying to go and that much faster. You know, instead of wandering the desert for 40 years looking for answers.
Right.
So the coach that I have right now is Ryan Stuman. You know, he runs a group out of Texas called Apex.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy has literally changed my life 10 times over. And, you know, I get one-on-one coaching with him. You know, he's invited me to his ranch. I go out there every month to go see him. I actually have a call with him today at 2. You know, we'll talk for an hour. And, you know, I ask him whatever. And my man gives me the answers. And that's the goal. You know, I want to make sure, like I said, if I could get those answers and serve them over on a silver platter to my team, if they got any questions, if they got any problems, you know, they become my problems. And I want to help them, not just at work. I want to help them at home. I want them to become the most elite person that they could become, you know, in every aspect of their life. Because if, you know, I can make them a better person, then everything will be, it'll be better.
I love it, bro. Everything you're saying is really, it resembles everything that I feel like I present to my team. And one thing I love about it is the stuff that you're bringing forth is positivity and growth, right? You genuinely want to see people and around you grow. And that's what's one of the most important parts. And when you have a mentor, a lost art, I think right now, that a lot of people lack in society is just listening.
Oh, absolutely. All I tell people all the time, listen. Just listen, bro.
Right, like you listen to people, and I think all you have to do is find an individual, like you said, that's been wandering the desert for 40 years, figure out what made them wander the desert for 40 years, what mistakes did you get through that, and just don't do that.
A lot of times it's their ego. You know, people don't want to ask for help. You know, they think that they got everything together, and you know, I know I don't. You know, so I'm quick to get questions and take notes, and the most important part is I'm really quick to take action, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I'm immediate. Let's do this. You know, let's figure it out. I have a great team. So again, you know, I might not be able to build it out on the computer. You know, I built out my website. I taped like 4 pieces of paper together and drew it out. You know, I want it to look like this, this part like this, this part like that. And you know, I get compliments about my website all the time. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know how to do it, but I got the vision and I got the people that can implement.
So how did you build your team? Like, it started obviously with between you and your girl, and then it expanded from there. But how did you build everything
else? So, you know, it's pretty much just people coming. You know, I haven't really recruited anybody, so it's just kind of, you know, attracting the people that you know want to be part of it. So we do the work and it speaks for itself. And like I said, people seek us out and want to come and join the team. We don't let everybody on. You know, like I said earlier, I'm looking for A players. You know,
yeah.
I want people that are going to want to win the championship, not just be sitting on the bench.
Right. So what is, So everyone can know a little bit background on what you do. I know you mortgages, investor,
real estate. So we offer 63 real estate services. You know, we call ourselves like the Amazon of real estate. So,
okay.
Yeah, everything from the roofs to foundation. So just yesterday, you know, it was a big hailstorm. We signed up a bunch of roofs, you know, and you know, we sell roofs, we do windows, siding, you know, carpet, you know, wood floors, any type of flooring, painting, drywall. If you need an engineer, an architect, you know, brand new house built.
Right.
And you know, we help people lower their taxes. We do pretty much everything construction related, you know, do the mortgages, sell houses. I show people how to invest. So I actually help the Hispanic community. We do a lot of Hispanic events. I don't know if you know who Andrew Holmes is, but we we help him out, you know, bring the Hispanic people to him as well, so that way, you know, he does a fantastic job at showing people how to invest. So, you know, we get them going, and you know, I'm part of Mastery as well. So
But how do you, how is your day structured to where you're able to, like, I guess, wear all these hats? Like, how can you even get through a day?
Like I said, it's my team. It's you know, I have people in charge of everything. So, you know, let's say I want to start something. I figure out what players I need. We put them in place and let it run.
Okay.
So, if it was up to me, you know, forget about it. You know, I these are the type of things I do. It's like this. I do podcasts. I meet with bigger clients, you know, I'm meeting with builders, I'm meeting with, you know, people that are going to move the needle and bring the leads in. You know,
right.
I'm like I said, I'm the rainmaker at everything I do, and my team takes care of the rest.
Right, right. But how did you build that structure? Like, was it with you, Jude, and your girl at first, and then it expanded from there, or how did you? Like,
so it was, so at the time, my girl was selling cars when we first opened up our real estate company. So my goal was to get her out of there. So that was why we opened up the real estate company. She had a managing broker license back in like 05, something like that. So it was like 2014, and we had bought this building, the building where we're currently at in one of our offices. And we were rehabbing it, and I was going to this burger joint for lunch every day. And every day I'm walking past this office, and I'm like, man, it's for rent. You know, it's like, it was an old jewelry store. And I remember going there as a kid and buying all these little charms, you know, Tech 9 charms, and, you know, weed leaf and all this stuff. So.
Yeah.
And I see it closed down. So I'm like, you know what, let me give them a call. Let me see what they want for rent. And, you know, I figured, hey, I called her. I was like, well, you know, let's open up an office. Let's get this going. I think this might be the ticket where I could get you out of there. You know, we'll grow this thing. You know, I didn't know really too much about real estate. I helped her out here and there, but I didn't really know. I still don't really know the process.
You weren't licensed at the time?
I was not licensed at the time.
Okay.
No, not at all. So,
dang, he took the jump without the license?
Yeah, without even the license. But
man.
She had the license.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, So we opened up the office. We hired an assistant right away because, again, you know, I'm not good at computers. You know, I wasn't on Facebook or Instagram. I thought the feds were coming to find me if I did any of that. So I stayed off of social media. I didn't even know how it worked.
Yeah.
So I wasn't on anything like that. And then about 6 months after we opened, you know, we're selling houses, you know, maybe 2-3 a month. You know, we're closing some deals. But my assistant at the time, she was like, you know what, why don't we make a Facebook? I'm like, I don't know, you know, kind of scared, you know. She's like, let's just try it. Let's see what happens.
Right.
Okay. She creates a page. First day, I get 2 leads. One seller, one buyer. We end up, you know, I'm like, man, we might be onto something. So, you know, we call it building your machine. You know, building your machine, you know, getting yourself out there, you know, showing people what it is that you do. And most importantly, though, doing the work. That way people can, you know like, and trust you. And that way they want to do business with you.
Right.
And once we just stay consistent with it, you know, we're posting daily. And before you know it, we're starting to pick up agents. You know, we're having people reach out to us. Hey, you know, we do roofs. We do flooring. Like, hey, come to the office. Let's have a sit down. So we started building affiliate partnerships. You know, so instead of me having my own roofing company, you know, now I can partner with a roofer that's got everything that I need. All the people I need, all I need to do is sell the job,
right?
So, and then the roofer deals directly with me. So I sell the job to the client. The roofer goes and handles the business. And then I get paid from the client. I pay the roofer. And most time I have to wait for the money. The roofer does not. So, or whatever contractor it is. They're done with the job. It's 100% satisfied. And it's past inspection. If there's a, you know, permanent inspection required by the city, they get paid immediately. They don't have to wait for insurance money. They don't got to wait for
So you front it.
Exactly. Because again, I'm trying to give the contractor the best experience they could ever have, because they'll push other people's jobs because they're not going to get paid for 30 days. They're not going to pay for 60 days, 120 days. My job, they're going to get paid immediately. So they need some of the times they need that money to pay, you know, their workers or whatever. Maybe they want it, but at least they know they're going to be getting it that much faster. So we try to think, what can, what can we do for our contractors to make sure that our contractors put us first, you know, and make sure that if they need to bump something, they will. What can we do for the clients to make sure they go through us? And again, we've already know them. They already know, like, and trust us. They don't know ABC Roofing, but they know Corona Realty Group. So they know they're going to get a good business, good service, and we're going to come through for them.
So how did you come up with that concept, though? Was it real estate company? You already had some sort of, like, in experience in the contract
so
world?
So I did. So I had already rehab properties. You know, I know construction very well. So I just, you know, started
self-made. Like, you just did it.
Yeah, pretty much, bro. You know, I knew how to work on cars, so I would work on houses and just, you know, my stepdad was in construction at the time. You know, he was at Taquero. He was selling tacos and stuff, but I would still call him up. He was like my YouTube. You know, I'd be like, hey, bro, I'm going to do this job. How do I do it? And a lot of times he had the tool, so I didn't have to go buy it. So I just borrowed the tool from him, go to, and handle the job. You know, because, like, you know, the skill is the will is definitely more important than the skill, bro. If you're willing to do it, you know, you'll figure it out. And once you know how to use your hands, you know how to use a tape measure, it's not as hard. You know, so I just started learning it and most importantly, I love it. I love working with my guys. I love, you know, the immediate satisfaction of building something and making it look good. So just like when I checked out this podcast, I was like, office, I was like, damn, bro, this is how it's done. You know, like, when I was here, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I took a peek in here, I was like, damn, you know. And I literally get inspiration from everything. Yeah. You know, so everything I look at, I'm looking at how things are built. I'm always looking around. I'm like, how did they do this? How did they do that? Oh, okay. I was at a house yesterday, and I'd never seen something like it was there. They had the drywall, instead of taping the drywall, it was open. There was like a little gap in between all the drywall. And then the guy put LED lighting behind it. I was like, damn, bro, that was dope.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never seen that before. And he's like, yeah, we do a lot of commercial business. And, you know, this is what we do with some of the commercial build outs that we do. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool.
No, that is really cool.
I'm constantly, everywhere I go, just getting inspiration. That way I can, you know, for future rehabs or future work I want to do.
Because you're always looking to learn, man. That's one of main paths and the reason why you're successful is because you were never someone enough where you were too good to learn, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You always have to have your ears open and ready to go on to your next move. And that's one thing I appreciate about you, bro. Like, you know, from restoring your journey, it's beautiful to hear someone that's just genuinely self-made. Like, you went, you made a decision. A lot of times people are successful because they take the risk. You're a risk taker. You're willing to take the risk, and that's the reason why you're in the position that you're in right now. You left to Mexico. You came back. You took the time that you had to take time to develop yourself as a man, because that was a time, I guess, that was really your time to find yourself. And then in that time period, you really defined yourself, and now you're in a position where you are mentors to all the other people that's in this world, because a lot of times people actually look up to and look for people like you because they don't have an image like you to be able to help and figure out what they're going to do in life, right? Like, and I appreciate that, because so a lot of times people are like, okay, I have the secret sauce, how I got here, now I'm not going to share it to the world. It's like, for what? You know, it's best to see everybody else grow around you. So that way, you know, now you don't have another Alex that's going to jail doing these things. You have a mentor that's able to get them to the path to success quicker than what you are. And a lot of times people don't want that path to success to be shown to the world, because at the end of the day, they're going to be like, oh, well, they're going to go faster than me. They're going to go above me. Even if they do, that was probably bound to happen regardless, right? Whether or not you helped them or not, because they're fine. If someone was going to be successful, like you said, they're going to have the will. Whether it's you that teaches them or somebody else that's going to teach them, they're going to find the path to success, because success and winning, you don't choose who wins. Winning is always going to choose the individuals that's going to win, because they have the desire themselves to win.
Absolutely.
Right? So I tell people all the time, like, yes, I had my uncle in the business, but if I didn't have my uncle, I would probably figure it out. Why? Because I was going to find someone else that's going to help me. So my uncle just fast-tracked me. He got me to where I needed to be in 2 years. People say, okay, you need to be a top producer in X amount of time. There's no time period for me. And anybody that wants to join my team, there's not a time period for you to be a top producer. There's not a time period for when you want to do the things that you do. It just really takes the will and desire to be able to achieve it. And that's one thing I love about your story, bro, is, you know, you took the time to really put your head down, figure the things out, and that's the reason why you're successful. But segueing into, like, okay, you went mortgages, or you went from real estate to contracting, and then you kind of built this team that just handles everything in real estate. Like, how did you find even the idea to be like, okay, I'm gonna do mortgages too? And how am
I? So I part of being in the car business, I sold some cars. So okay. my oldest son, his uncle, who also was one of my mentors, Mike Maharis, he runs the number one car dealer in the whole state.
Oh, wow.
It's like number 6-7 in the country. So they sell a lot of cars. It's a mega store. They do a lot of business. And, you know, I'm super grateful to him because he gave me this opportunity. I wish I would have listened sooner, because every time I would see him at Thanksgiving and Christmas, he'd be like, hey, man, let's go sell some cars. And yeah. I'm like, nah, bro, I don't even like car salesmen.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like the car salesman I worked with. I worked at a dealership.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just kind of always know what a car salesman was about.
Right.
But, you know, Western Avenue and Frankfurt is, you know, two completely different things.
Right, right.
So, when I was going to have my oldest kid, so this was 18, almost 19 years ago, he's about to be 19, I decided, you know what, I'll take a week vacation. Let's go see what this car sales is all about. I sold like 13 cars my first week. So I never went back. I sent the tow truck, go get my toolbox, my workbench. And, you know, I stopped working on cars for like 5 years. And all we did was pretty much take the car business to the real estate game. And, you know, we're aggressive. And it's the same exact thing. You know, people come into our office. You know, we tell them what paperwork to bring in. And even before I was a loan officer, we did the exact same thing. You know, this is the paperwork you need to bring in. We get them approved. So even though I wasn't a loan officer, I had different, you know, lenders I would use. And depending on the situation, I would send it out to them. And it's the same thing we did with the car business. You know, depending on their credit, depending on the situation, we had different lenders. And then we submit it to them. We get them approved. And then we go find the house. So it's a, all we did was the exact same thing. So after maybe about like 4 years of learning, you know, the mortgage business and learning how, you know, things were done, I decided, hey, why don't I get my mortgage license? You know, and I remember still telling my team, my current team now, that, you know, I'm going to get my mortgage license. They laughed at me. Like, bro, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, we send college-educated people there, dude. You don't even know how to read. You know, like, I'm like, it's cool, bro. Give me 30 days. You know, give me 30 days. I'll get it done. I got it done in 28.
Nice.
You know, so, and it's the same story when I told my family, you know, I told them that I was going to open up my real estate company. You know, I'll never forget it. It was my aunt, my grandma, and my mom in the room. And I'm like, hey, we're going to open up a real estate office. Bro, they laughed and laughed. And they're like, man, tú qué sabes? You don't know shit. Are you, te gusta tirar dinero? You know, I'm like, you know, and, you know, here we are. And now they're investing. You know, my grandma, she's not alive anymore. But, you know, I dedicate the rest of my life to her to make sure, you know, she's the one that raised me. And I want to make her proud. And my mom and my aunt are now investors in, you know, part of what we do. And, you know, they're buying properties and flipping them and holding them. And, you know.
But truthfully, there's, I think every family member has that one child and that one kid that uplifts your family and breaks all the past family chains and all the things that were holding your family down. And it sounds to me like you were that one individual that
broke all your family. Believe it or not, you know, I have an uncle. He's pretty famous. And, you know, he's the one that brought my whole family here. His name is Roberto Cardenas. That's not even his real name. You know, that was his name that he bought. You know, but, you know, a lot of old timers that have been here a long time, they know exactly who he is. He had the first Spanish TV show here in Chicago.
Wow.
He had the first Spanish radio station here in Chicago. He had Juan Sebastian. He used to work for him. You know, I'm not sure if you know who he is.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like a real famous Mexican singer.
Yeah.
And he had like the first Mexican grocery store, first Mexican furniture store. A lot of firsts. You know,
right.
And he's the one that brought my whole family here, and they all worked for him. And, you know, he put everybody on. And I've had a few other uncles that he put on that did very well too. So, you know, my family, they know what it looks like to be successful. But
right.
I was not. I didn't look anything like them,
yeah,
you know,
and I
didn't represent anything they represented. So, you know, they just, you know, and especially at the time, you know, it took a long time for my family to get over, you know, all the things I did as a kid, and for them to trust me, for them to even know, like, and trust me, you know,
right,
so,
right.
So, and I'm talking about just like a few years ago. So
yeah,
it took a long time,
yeah.
And, you know, but now they look at me different.
So what, I guess, how important is family to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's everything. You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm cool with my mom and, you know, cool with my aunt, my uncle, you know, it's you know, my brothers. It's, you know, my brothers are police, you know, so they, you know, don't talk to them too often because, you know, I talk to the cops. But but they're cool with me now, you know, so, you know, it took a long, long time. But, you know, here we are. So it's definitely family's everything.
Well, what do you feel like your purpose was? Was it for your family? Was it for yourself? Was it for your
kids? So, you know, I definitely want to, it's for my kids, bro. You know, I want to show my kids, you know, I didn't have a male role model in my life to show me this is the way you do things, or this is how you take care of your family, or this is how you take care of your kids. And I just want to be the best father I could possibly be, the father that I never had. So I want them to be first in my life. And, you know, and I know that they're dependent on me. My girl's dependent on me. My dog is dependent on me. You know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that they get the best life they could possibly have.
Well, like you said, that, you know, when you were kind of growing up and you had to make sure that you figured it out yourself, right, for your kids, right? How do you find the time, right, throughout the entire day to do run your manage your team, all the projects that you have, and then still give time back to your family.
So, you know, I live a learning-based living, bro. So that's all I do. That's one of my core values is I got to take in information. So I live by my calendar. So, you know, first thing I do before I go to sleep is I check my calendar. All right, let me see what I got to do tomorrow. I wake up, I check it again. Here, let me make sure I'm not late to anything. And there's always time, you know, for the things that are important to you. If you're not, you know, if it's not important to you, you're not going to make time. And for my kids, you know, I show them the way, though. So I got to make sure that's first and foremost, because at the end of the day, that's why we're doing this. You know, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm not selfish. I'm not, you know, I don't want it all for me, you know. You know, if you ask Raul, you'll see, you know, I want to spread the wealth. I want to make sure that people that want to grow, I'm there to help them grow. You know, most time I want it more than they do. So, you know, but when it comes to the kids, you know, I don't, you know, there's nothing that's going to stop me from being there for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know you say you live off your calendar and you want to be there for your kids in every obviously second that you can be. How long did it take you to learn that?
Not long at all, bro. So I actually quit my job, like went full time daddy at home, you know. So
wait, what job?
So after I sold cars, so I stopped selling cars in probably like 2009, and then until we opened up the real estate business in like December of 2014, I didn't work. So I was an at-home dad with my oldest kid. You know, I took him everywhere, took the whole baseball team. I coached baseball for like 12 years with him.
Wow.
And, you know, I would rent a limo bus and take him all to Great America. I'd take him everywhere I could, you know. So my girl was really a real successful car salesperson. And, you know, we had money. We were investing. We were flipping properties. So I was general contracting, you know, having the stuff done. But I was just an at-home dad, you know, you know, I really learned how to be a good father, a good man to my girl. You know, I'm not afraid to cook, clean toilets, you know, whatever needs to happen. I actually showed her how to cook, you know, so,
yeah, yeah.
You know, there's nothing that's beneath me. You know, right. I'll do whatever has to be done. And, you know, there's still days I'll take off work to clean the whole house to make sure, you know, when she comes home, everything is done, laundry's handled. Yeah. I'll take a couple guys from the job, you know, we'll go home and handle everything.
Right. I look up to that, bro. I look up to that. I think it's really difficult to kind of juggle everything. And like you say, you make time for what you want to.
Right.
But it's easier said than done when you're in the position that you're building your business, because you're so locked in and focused on building it. And, you know, that's something and a trait that I have to evaluate myself as a man. I'm telling you, I'm not perfect just like you. You know, I'm trying to figure that portion out of my life every single day to make sure that I'm at a position where I live off my calendar and I honor it. Because it's hard, bro. Like, you know, you work so hard to build your business to the point where it's self-sufficient, and then it becomes self-sufficient. Now you're like, what if it ends tomorrow? What if all my business just dies out tomorrow? Probably, statistically speaking, it's not, right? But in your mind, that's something that replays in the back of your mind, because if it does end tomorrow, what happens, right? What income are we living off of, you know? And for me, I live off of like the always motivated. I'm motivated every single day. I go to the gym every single day, and then, you know, I try to live as much as I can off my calendar. But that's something that I've struggled with over the last couple months, because, you know, we've gotten busier. You know, our team's growing and everything is doing. So now you're trying to retain the business and provide the best service. And like you said, time is super valuable, man. So expanding your team, being able to delegate is one of the most important parts that you got to learn to grow your business. So did you kind of learn that over time, like just time kept shrinking and you're like, okay, expand the team. How did you know when
to
expand?
So I'm pretty good at delegating, you know, so if I can't delegate it, I automate it, you know, and if I can't automate it, I just get rid of it. You know, I don't have to do it. You know, it's not that serious. We got a lot going on, and I have an abundant mindset. You know, there's enough for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, so I don't have a scarcity mindset. I'm not really worried about, you know, is my business going to end, because it's not. You know, I keep doing the work. And like I said to you earlier, bro, as long as I do it from my heart, God's going to take care of the rest. He's always got me. No matter what happens, bro, he's got me 100%. So I'm not even worried about it. So he's proved it over and over and over. I mean, it's... You know, he's right here with me right now, bro. So that's why I'm like, what am I worried about? What am I scared about? You know, I'm speaking at a big event in July in front of thousands of people out in Texas at the Toyota Music Center.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are like, damn, aren't you scared? You know, I've spoken at big events, not like this one, but, Again, I'm like, bro, it's all good. I love, you know, feeling uncomfortable, bro. It's, I got to get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. It's okay. That's how you grow.
Right.
And if you're scared and you don't want to do things, you know, you're going to be in the same spot you were next year. And that's the only thing that scares the shit out of me is regret, you know,
right.
is being in the same spot I am next year. I'm already thinking ahead. I'm already in 2025 thinking, you know, what can I be doing right now that's going to make me 10 times more successful next year?
Right.
You know, that's where I'm at.
What's your vision then? What do you want
to
see?
So my vision is to, you know, live in Mexico and live in paradise and let, you know, everything pretty much run on its own. And I mean, so just live it, bro.
How long do you see that happening?
In the next few years. So, that's the goal right now is to, you know, take myself to Cancun or we actually put an offer in on a house there last year. We got outbidded, but you know, like I tell people too, you know, God will give you what you need when you're ready for it, bro. And I must have not have been ready for it.
So. Yeah. I love that. So with your kids, right, do you want them to move out to Mexico with you or is it just going to...
So my two youngest, yes. My oldest, he's got his own plans. So, you know, I got his back and obviously he'll come visit me. You know, he's a good kid. So how I got him, again, bro, God's grace.
Right. That's beautiful, man. Any piece of last remarks for any individual that's watching this? Obviously, like you said, you're a very successful man. You have built so many different businesses and learned the art of delegation. Any piece of advice for an individual that's maybe just starting their businesses or whether or not they're kind of scared to take the jump, what would you give them?
Like I tell everybody, bro, if I can do it, if Alex Corona did it, bro, you can do it, okay? Because literally, bro, I got no education. I got nothing else but God and the will to do these things. So if I could do it, bro, you can kill this shit. There ain't no doubt about it, you know? And most importantly, bro, keep going because it's all about, that's it, bro. Just gotta keep going. You know, a lot of people, they're so close to making it happen, but they give up, you know?
Right.
And that's when you really lose. There's gonna be tons of loss, bro. There's gonna be blood, sweat, and tears. That's mandatory. And if you ain't ready for that, stay your ass under the bed, stay under the covers. And if you're ready to do this, bro, and go and get it, because there's nothing better than doing it for yourself.
Yeah. It's funny. As soon as you said, I'll wrap this up right here. The journey and the story that I remember, I kind of pictured when you said that, is the guy that was mining gold. So all the
three
way
feet away from the gold, bro.
3 feet away from the gold. And he's like, I'm gone. And that guy came in 2 minutes later and got the gold, you know? And that's the reality of life.
That's
man.
It, bro.
You give up, someone else is going to take the food that could have been on your plate.
I have that ring in my head all the time, bro. You're 3 feet away from the gold. Keep going.
Oh,
keep
awesome.
Going, bro. That's it. Keep going.
I love it.
Can't stop now.
Bro, thank you so much for the knowledge that you dropped today. We really do appreciate you coming out. Everybody watching, make sure you have your notepad out. And if you haven't already, make sure you had your cafecito today. Like, subscribe, turn on post notifications. We appreciate you and your time. Hope you guys have a great day.
You ought to hear what I'm saying. Success is a plan that takes years in the making. When nobody did, I believed. Had to let go of things I did not need. Cut off some friends in the process. What could I say? I could no longer carry the dead weight. Get off your